Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see everyone here, and I can definitely echo what Brother Michael and Brother Randy was saying, that it's so good to see God's people.
Yes.
This is encouraging and inspiring, especially in the day and age we live in. You know, there's a lot of other things going on Saturday nights.
Yes.
That aren't church services.
Yes.
Oh, there's some good stuff, of course, but a lot of bad. But I'm just thankful that we have this privilege to be together here this evening.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Been rejoicing too, just listening to the song service and the regular congregational singing and the special singing. I think each and every song spoke something special to me. And I love what was in this last song. If he hung the moon. In other words, he's so powerful. And he spoke all those things into existence. What do you think he can do for us and with us? So I desire your prayers tonight. As Brother Michael mentioned earlier, I'm Butch Cole from the Neosho congregation, and glad to be here this evening. So I have a question, and this will be the title of the message tonight. And the question is, what is thy petition? And that's actually a quote. We'll read it later from a couple of scriptures. But to think of that word petition, what is your petition? Petition is a request, a favor or assistance with something. And my mind goes back to something that took place years ago early on in my career. It was one of those moments that will forever be seared into my mind. I was in my early 20s, or I guess late 20s at this time. And this company I was working for, they were a young company, and they had just been around for a couple of years, and there were still a lot of growing pains they were going through, and they hired me on, and they took a gamble. I took a gamble, if you want to put it that way, the risk of, starting to work for this young company, not sure what they would do, and they probably wasn't sure what I would do, but yet I joined forces with them. And on this company... with this company, there was one of those things where in the engineering department, there were some great needs. That's the department I was working in. And it was one of those things. I was young and kind of naive and didn't really, I felt intimidated. And I didn't feel like that I could actually ask for these things that we really needed in the engineering department, specifically some new computers and new software, CAD software. And it just kept gnawing at me. I'm like, man, we could do so much more. We could be, we could accomplish a lot more and so on and so forth. And I just kept toying with it in my mind. I'm like, I can't. But one day, the owners of the company, they called me into their office, and I don't know what other conversations were going on or they read my mind or what the, but they just sat me down and said, by the way, what do you need in your department there? What are you in greatest need of? I'm like, well, we need some new computers and some new CAD software, and we could use an extra body, another person. And like, okay. And the end result was they met all of my needs. They asked me, what do you need? And they responded, and they got me what I needed. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
why didn't I do this earlier? But again, I was young and naive and not, I was intimidated and thinking, oh, this is a young company and that's thousands of dollars that they're going to have to spend right off the bat, and they just hired me. I'm like, this is, but yet they asked me, what do you need?
Yes.
And it wasn't what I didn't make a long list of things I wanted. All right. Yeah. You could just get ridiculous with that, but no, they were specific. What do you really need? Mm-hmm. And that was a lesson that, the scripture talks about, and this is moving on to more important things in life, but scripture says, you have not because you ask not. And there's so many things where God wants us to ask for our needs to be met. Not just our selfish desires and wants and frivolous things, but no, we have some serious needs. He wants us to ask.
Yes.
And so I have a story I want to refer to here this evening. It's a familiar story in the book of Esther. And in this book, I'm just going to paraphrase some of what was mentioned. Yes, I can see. I'm good, thank you. So just to give a little background, again, that little story I just shared of asking for computers and software and another person in the department there, compared to our spiritual lives, that was pretty frivolous, okay? But you know, those are some serious needs at that time. And the Lord knows whatever needs we have here tonight, He still wants us to ask and to petition Him, say, Lord, Father, I need something from you. Don't be afraid or intimidated to ask, all right? That is something I want to lay the groundwork with here this evening. But in this story of Queen Esther, if you remember how this story began, she became the queen of the king of Persia, and Queen Esther was a beautiful lady, and that's what won the king's heart. And so, as the story goes along, you can read in the third and fourth chapters, there were two individuals that had a conflict with each other. And it was the king's right-hand man. He had worked his way up in a high position there, and that was Haman. And Haman had, he had it in for someone, but there was a reason. And this particular person was Mordecai, which was Queen Esther's cousin. And he also worked for the king, but he had a much lower position and was at the gate. And so when Haman would walk through and parade himself around, he noticed that Mordecai would not bow. And that just got underneath his skin. And there was something about it that at the time, he didn't know what to do with this. And as he come to find out, Mordecai was a Jew. And so he contrived this plan, this evil, sinister plan, unbeknownst to the king of what was really behind the scenes of what he was doing here. But this is the kind of evil man Haman was. All right, so he conceived this plan and decided to present to the king, you know, there are some people in your kingdom that don't like to follow your laws and your rules by the letter. And this specific bunch of people are called the Jews. And they're a real nuisance, and they don't want to really abide by all of your laws, and they could cause some problems in the future. But he was really, of course, referring to this one man, his enemy, Mordecai. And so, as time goes on, he persuades the king of Persia there to make a decree and basically set a death sentence on the Jews. Now, that sounds very extreme, does it not?
Yes.
But yet, you know, when a person gets full of envy and greed and hatred and bitterness and resentment and all those things, and when a person is filled with those things, it's like there's no rationale left.
That's right.
And Satan has no boundaries. And he can do,
yes.
Think of it, all the ones that that not only persecuted but ultimately crucified an innocent one called Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And yet, some of the Jews, they were so taken up with this envy and with this hatred for him, that they saw to it that their plans were carried out. Well, the same was with Haman. So the king made this decree. And as you know, the rest of the story, it was very troubling, because later Queen Esther found out what had happened. Well, of course, she was a Jew too. And this was very troubling, because she's thinking, this is it. She's like, I'm the queen, I have a privileged position here, but she's like, this means my life too. And the king is not even aware that I'm a Jew. And then also, there's her cousin, Mordecai, and then the rest of their family, the rest of the people. And so, obviously, Queen Esther was very troubled. And so, what I love about this story, and this is something that's very unique about the book of Esther, because it's... most of y'all probably know that there's not There's not a direct reference to God in this, and there's not a it's not a typical book of the Bible, but yet there is reference to praying to God, because Queen Esther petitions her people,
yes,
and through Mordecai, the encouragement of her cousin, to ask for prayer and fasting, that somehow God intervene for her and her people. But here's what's amazing is, even though she was a beautiful lady, she did not use her beauty as a tool to get to the king's heart.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what she did? As I just mentioned, she called for a fast.
Yes.
She meant business. And she was desperate for God to come on the scene and intervene, though she had no idea. Lord, what could you do? I have no idea, because she didn't realize perhaps at that time, but as she found out later, that the king of Persia, their decrees and their laws were irreversible. You could not go back on them. Once they were set, they were set. So, in this case, she calls for prayer and fasting. And this goes on for a few days. But then she was encouraged by her cousin to go ask the king. Well, again, she's like, I can't just freely walk in and ask the king a question. He has to invite me. And he has to extend the scepter. And she's like, he doesn't understand what all is going on here. He doesn't realize what's really at stake. But she's like, and you know the rest of the story. She said, if I perish, I perish. But you know, I am convinced, it took some true pouring out to the Lord.
Yes.
It took some true vehement prayers on her behalf to get to a point where she could say, if I perish, I perish.
Yes.
She was willing to sacrifice her life at risk, knowing that the king may not accept her.
Right.
And she might intrude upon him, and it might find him in a bad mood, and her life might be taken. Kings would do that.
Yeah.
But you know, what is amazing is God heard the prayers of his people.
Yes, thank
you, Lord. And it wasn't just her prayers. It was all of her. But it started with her.
Yes.
Because she was in a very important position, a very critical position there. And you remember what Mordecai told her, for such a time as this, God has put you here.
That's right.
You know, sometimes in life, God puts us in places where we just step back and we kind of scratch our heads and think, how did I get here? What am I doing here? But you know, sometimes it's as simple as that. For such a time as this, you may not be in this position ever again, but right now is it critical?
Yes.
Could be a turning point for your life.
That's
or
right.
Some of your loved ones, and God's saying, I'm relying on you, I'm depending on you for such a time as this.
Yes.
To act as God would have you to act, to get in serious earnestness for your soul and the souls of your loved ones or whatever the needs may be. And that's the situation Queen Esther found herself in.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that we have this story recorded.
Yes.
Because as we move on through the book of Esther, there's more things that took place that I think it was just marvelous what God did. We'll just put it that way. But thinking again of this death sentence that was put on the Jews at this time, before she went in to ask the king, I want us to stop and consider here this evening. You realize there's been a death sentence put on you and I as well.
Yes.
That's right.
By Satan himself.
That's right.
That's true.
That he's out to get you, and he's out to get me.
That's right.
And anyone else that is listening to this, he's out to get all of us.
Yes.
And not just to give us a troubled life. Oh, yeah, he'd love to do that. But the ultimate end is he wants to destroy us.
That's right.
And our souls, that we perish with him. Because he knows he's going to perish. He wants us to perish with him. We know what the scriptures say. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he wants to kill, steal, and to destroy us.
Yes, he does.
There's a death sentence on us tonight.
Yes.
Well, you know, Queen Esther, first of all, I want to say this. The death sentence that was put on us, I'm so thankful that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, interceded for us.
Yes.
And removed that death sentence if we're willing to accept that, to accept his offer on his conditions, and to seek him. But you know, Queen Esther, she risked her life to save her people.
Yes.
Just as Jesus gave his life for you and I. But back to the story of Queen Esther, you know, there was something about this. It was more than just being awarded the presence and attention of the king. That was the first step. Just to get inside the chamber, so to speak, and in the throne room, and just to get his attention, an audience with the king, that I could at least speak to him. That was the first miracle that she needed.
Yeah.
And that in desperation, she's like, if I don't make it in there, and if he doesn't extend his golden scepter, then this is it. So she put a lot at stake here. Her faith in God had to be at an all-time high at this time. Even though she did not see the end of this, how it's going to all work out, but she's like, Lord, I'm going in faith.
Yes.
And she did. But you know, it wasn't just that miracle to get in the presence of the king to petition him, but it was the second part. The second miracle was somehow my people have to have this death sentence removed.
Yes.
Somehow my people and I, we need to be spared because there's thousands of Jews out here that are relying upon this very pivotal moment in time.
Yes.
And so I want us to consider what took place here. And we're not going to read too many scriptures, but in the fourth chapter of Esther, if you'll turn there, in the fourth chapter, as she enters in again at the risk of her life, the king holds out the golden scepter, and as she comes in, and she was, you can only imagine the relief as she said, oh, okay, this is the first step. Now I can speak with him. But there was so much more to take place from this first moment. But as she comes in verse 14, the fifth chapter, So the fourth chapter was talking about for such a time as this, and then she mentioned, if I perish, I perish. So in the fifth chapter, as she enters in to the king, it says, the king said, in verse 6, and the king said unto Esther at the banquet. So this was in the wisdom of her cousin Mordecai. He encouraged her to request a banquet that she could speak with the king. And that was a convenient thing to do. So the king said it to Esther at the banquet. He said, what is thy petition? And that was the question we posed beginning little service tonight. What is thy petition? And he goes on, and it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be performed. That was a marvelous response. And that is, of course, that was music to her ears. Like, yes, I'm making some headway here. But she still didn't realize the hurdles that were ahead. There were many things to take place. And later, he says it again in the sixth chapter. There's a lot of things that took place in between here. But finally, she invites him back again, and she finally is now getting down to where she's able to ask the sincere question of sparing her people's lives. And so again, in the seventh chapter, he says the same thing at the banquet on the second day. And he says, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. So basically the same thing. And so here Queen Esther, she answers in verse 3. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, and I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. So what she's saying here is, if we would have just been slaves, I wouldn't have made a big issue out of this. But she's like, it's more serious than that. We're going to be slaughtered. Just going to be a bloodbath. And here's some, if we could say it this way, some more details that went on behind the scenes here is, Haman, they cast lots to pick a day that they would cause all the Jews to be put to death. And later, if you read the rest of the history here, they were planning and scheming how to carry out this great slaughter of the Jews. There's so many little details here. And Haman was an evil man. Well, he met his end as well. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But in this case, she was pleading for her life and pleading for her people's lives. And of course, the king didn't realize that she was a Jew. And then things started being exposed of the evil plan of Haman. And you can read again the rest of this chapter and the eighth chapter. So many things that went on here. But the underlying theme of all of this is the king asked her, "What is thy petition?"
Yes.
And when we consider that question, and if we could put ourselves just for a moment here, I want us to reel our minds in just a little bit from this story of Esther. And I want you to consider your life tonight.
Yes.
If the King of Kings was to ask you a question and say, "What is your petition? What is your need? What do you need from me? What impossibilities are you struggling with tonight?" You see, Queen Esther and her people were up against an extreme impossibility here. They're thinking, there's no way that this decree's been made. It cannot be reversed. This is utter doom and destruction. This is it. We have a few more months or whatever to enjoy what life we have left. And then at this particular day, this set in time, we're going to be destroyed. Can you imagine the agonizing thought of, oh no, the ever looming doom ahead for their lives and their loved ones, and the innocent children that would not understand, well, what's going on here? All because of one evil man. But again, the question tonight is, what is your petition?
Yes.
What are the impossibilities that you're struggling with? Now let's just ponder what some of those things could be. Perhaps it's maybe someone's job is in jeopardy. You know, this day and age, there's a lot of things going on that we scratch our heads and we can't figure it out. It's just a lot of things don't make sense. And there's a lot of jobs, but yet some are losing their jobs. And a lot of uncertainty. Or maybe you have a loved one that's in great physical affliction. Or maybe it's yourself. Or just a great need of healing. It seems like maybe something has been lingering for weeks or months or years without much change. Like, Lord, this just seems impossible. It's like, it's not going to change. It's just, we're doomed. This is how it's going to be. Or maybe there are failed or difficult relationships. You know, those can get pretty close to our heart, can't they? Because you feel like, I've done all I know to do, or so-and-so has done all they know to do, and yet there's these issues that it seems like it's impossible that they'll ever be resolved, that we'll ever be able to communicate again, or to participate in another function with them again, or whatever the case is. It's like, how did we get here? It seems like it's a dead end, that there's no hope here in this relationship. Or maybe it's some personal failures, struggles, shortcomings. Maybe even secret things that no one else knows anything about. Maybe it's something you've struggled with, again, for months or years. And maybe you get the victory here, get the victory there, but it's just the same. Just go back over and over again. It's like, is there any hope? Is there any use? Have you been trying again? This seems impossible. It seems like the death sentence is just hanging over my head. It's like, this is it. I just have to succumb to it. You know, that's how the Jews felt.
Yeah.
Oh, but dear ones, we have a great intercessor.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. And you know, again, Queen Esther, you can say it this way, as I mentioned earlier, alluded to, that as a type of Christ. And she didn't have the saving power that Jesus had, but yet she interceded for her people.
Yes.
She put her life on the line, but she was limited in what she could do. Oh, but dear ones, we have a Lord and Savior,
yes,
Jesus Christ.
Thank the Lord.
He's not limited in what he
That's
can
right.
do. The only limitations he has is what we put on him.
Yes.
Say, oh no, you can't do that. You can't touch this. Or I'm going to do it. No. We have to lay it all down.
Yes, that's right.
You know, Queen Esther had to lay everything down, even her life. And her questions, her frustrations, like, why? I just became queen. And he chose me to be his beautiful bride, the queen. And no doubt she's going back home and just racking her brain and begging the Lord, saying, Lord, this is not right. This isn't fair. You put me in this place, and now we're going to be destroyed. You know, sometimes the devil will feed you all kinds of, if I could say, negative thoughts,
yes,
and questions of why, Lord, why me? This is unfair. I don't deserve this.
Right.
You just did this and now this happened. Why'd you do that, Lord? You know, she could have, if I can put it bluntly, wallowed in her self-pity.
Yeah, that's right.
She could have done that. But instead, she chose to go to her prayer chamber, to her prayer closet, and she met the Lord there.
Yes,
and
yes,
that is what made the difference.
That's right.
Cast all the beauty aside, all the outward things, all her opinions, all
yes,
her selfish desires, she threw them all to the side, and she laid herself prostrate before the Lord, saying, Lord, please have mercy upon me and my people.
Yes.
And the Lord did.
He did.
The Lord heard her prayers.
He did.
He was moved. But you know, he did it in an unusual way. There was a new decree made. And you can, again, read through the scriptures, more the details. But you know, the king, he explained to her, he's like, it's irreversible. I can't change the decree I made. But he said, there is something I can do. He made a new decree.
Yes.
And you know, and again, this was what I call a miracle from God. I believe God was the one that was orchestrating in this and put in the king's heart what he would approve of and what he would sanction. You know, God can do that even in this day and age we
yes,
live in.
That's right.
With the public figures in our lives, sometimes you think, oh, Lord. But you know, the Lord can still put things in their hearts and minds that they don't even know where they came from.
Yes.
But God put them there.
Yes,
and
right.
God can move upon
that's
them
right.
and change their minds.
Yes,
and
right.
if they can't reverse things, they can put something else in place to counter it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the king did here.
Yes, he did.
He put a new decree in place. And this new decree was, he sent out messengers with letters throughout the whole kingdom, just like they did on the first decree. But again, he said, with haste, go out and send out the message to all the Jews and all the cities, wherever they're at, all the villages, and let them know.
Yes.
The new decree is that you have permission from the king's throne. He's sanctioned and he's given you permission as Jews to defend yourself against any enemy that may come against you.
Yes.
Give them permission. You can defend yourself.
Yes.
And put that decree out to where all the enemies of them also knew what this decree was. It wasn't just the Jews that knew about this decree. It was the whole nation. And all the provinces, all the cities. To let everyone know the Jews have the right to defend themselves.
Yes.
When that day comes. That day that was supposed to be bloodshed of annihilating all the Jews. The tables were turned. There was hope once again.
Yes,
can you imagine the news when the Jews are still kind of hanging their heads in their homes and maybe they walk out and here comes a messenger riding up on his horse. He's like, what's he in a hurry about? And he reads the message to them. Can you imagine the joy and elation they have? Oh,
yes.
We have a chance to survive.
Yes.
We can live now. There's hope. Oh, can you imagine? It was basically the death sentence was removed because they were given the right to fight, if
yes,
you can put it that way.
Yes.
And in the Old Testament, we understand what that's how God's people dealt with their enemies. Is God allowed them, led them in warfare, and they defeated their enemies. Right. And it was literal warfare.
Right.
But you know, this was an amazing turn of events. And I don't think Queen Esther, she's probably stung by this thinking, oh, yeah, well that makes sense. All right, this is wonderful news. And so as the message spreads throughout the kingdom, and the Jews realized that they were backed by the king. And when the enemies realized that they were also backed by the king, and furthermore, we didn't read this part, we'll cover this part, where Haman was hung on the gallows that he designed for Mordecai himself. There's more to that story, but Haman was killed, all right?
Yeah.
But his sons were still alive. And there were many followers and supporters of Haman. But when they got the news about this new decree, no doubt they were afraid. Because they knew the king was backing, because Mordecai had raised this position, all right? And now God had favored, they didn't understand God like the Jews did, but the king had favored Mordecai and Queen Esther and the Jews, so all the favor had switched to the Jews now. And so it's like, the king is aware of this. And so when that day came for the great slaughter, you realize that the Jews were empowered,
yes,
to defeat the enemy.
Yes.
They were given power. They were sanctioned by the king and given authority to rise up and defend themselves. When the enemies would come against them, they could defend themselves and kill their enemies. And that's exactly what they did. And there's many details in this. The end result was there were thousands of their enemies that were killed. That the Jews were able to defend themselves, and there was not a bloodshed of the Jews. Rather, it was a bloodshed of their enemies. But God is the one that reversed this.
Yes.
Because of the faithfulness of one young lady, Queen Esther, that got in earnestness before the Lord. And then she was granted rights to the king to enter into his presence. And then the king says, and again, it was God that put it upon his heart to extend the scepter and then to ask her, what is your petition? What do you have need of? What is your request? Obviously, this is something in earnest because you went about it this way. So he was anxious to hear what the need was. You know, we have a God,
yes,
that is anxious to hear what our needs,
yes,
are.
Yes, that's
too.
Right.
But you know what separates him? There's a lot that separates him from the king of Persia.
Yes.
But one thing is, God already knows what our needs are.
Yes.
The king of Persia, he didn't know. Yet he asked. In earnestness and in all sincerity, he asked, well, what is your need? What is your petition? And she told him. And then later he asked again, and she furthered that, explained in greater detail what it was. It was like, oh, now I get it. But you know, the beauty of this, dear ones, is we have a God in heaven,
yes,
that knows our needs even before we ask.
Yes.
But yet he still wants us to ask.
Yes.
You realize that?
Yes.
And again, we have not because we ask not. He says, ask and you shall receive. What he's wanting us to do is to focus our attention upon him and to realize,
yes,
that we can't fulfill and meet our own needs.
That's right.
That we are down in humility, bowing before him and saying, Lord, you have the answers. Lord, you have the power. Lord, you have the authority. And Lord, I know you can enable me to defeat the enemy.
Yes.
And dear ones, he can and he will. So I ask the question again, to ponder on, what is your petition today?
Yes.
What is your need? What is your request? So as we are faced with impossibilities, whatever it may seem, and it seems like there's absolutely no ray of hope, no way out, we feel helpless, like we've tried everything we know to do, and yet here we are, Lord. I still feel this death sentence hanging over my head. But you know, that's when God says, yes, you can. That's when God says, I have a way. I have the answers. I have all power and authority in heaven and earth. And so he asked us, what is your petition? So the Lord is asking us, what do you have need of tonight?
Yes.
What are you needing from me? The Lord is saying. I want to turn and read some scriptures in John, the 5th chapter. A familiar story. It's about the man that was at the pool of Bethesda in John 5. And this man, lame for quite some time. And in verse 5, John 5 and 5, it says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years an infirmity. And you know, if you, I want to expand upon this just a little bit. An infirmity is, it's a weakness. It's a frailty of physical, body, mind. It's something that we're not able to... it's a weakness. It's something we can't overcome on ourselves. And truly, that was the case with this man. For 38 years, he tried to get into the pool and he could not make it. Someone else got in front of him. He was limited physically in what he could do. You know what I love about this? It goes on, verse 6. And when Jesus saw him lying there... Oh, dear ones, there are times when we don't even know how to ask or what to ask. And at those times, Jesus knows where we're at. And he will come on the scene and make himself available and still ask the question. He won't force anything on us, but he's still standing there asking us, what do you have need of, child? I'm here. He's not going to make us take or do anything, but it's a question, and that's exactly what he said here. And Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been now a long time in that case.
Yes.
Dear ones, tonight, wherever you're at, whatever needs you have, you fill in the blank. Jesus knows what those needs are and exactly how long you've had those needs.
Yes, that's right.
And if I could just envision him standing up here, looking at you and looking at me with eyes that just melt us.
Amen.
They're not eyes of ridicule and criticism.
No.
And how, why did you do that? No, not eyes of judgment, but these are eyes of compassion, eyes of mercy, eyes of love, reaching out to us.
Yes.
Jesus knew that man was there at the pool. He went and
found him, yes.
And he knew his name, and he knew what his needs were. And Jesus came not with just a few little tools in his backpack, so to speak, saying, well, maybe I'll take out this little trinket and try that, or try this little thing. No, Jesus came with all power and authority from the throne of God to change his life forever.
Yes, praise
right
the Lord.
There. Yes. Not in a phase of 15, 20 years from now, you might be okay. But no, he came to transform his life right then and there, if he was willing to accept it.
Yes.
Oh, dear ones, Jesus is standing here tonight looking out over this crowd, and he knows what your needs are.
Yes.
And he knows how long you've struggled with these impossibilities. And he's asking, what is your petition? What is your request? What is your need?
Yes.
I know where you're at, Jesus is saying. And he came here. He saw him. He's like, I knew you were here. He didn't tell him that. But he knew exactly where this man was, the man with this infirmity, and how long he had been there, and yet had never been changed, yet had never been delivered, yet had never been healed. Oh, but this was a new day. Thank the Lord. Because Jesus, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole?
Yes.
He asked a question of him. And what was this question? It was simply, what do you have need of? Jesus knew what his need was.
Yes.
But he was asking a direct question. This man could be honest with himself and with Jesus. And yet what's amazing is, this man's reply, he did not answer him directly because he was so used to defeat for so many years. How did he reply to him? It says, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man."
Yeah.
He's like, "I've tried." And he didn't know that Jesus already knew that. He's like, "I have no one to take me to the water that it might change my life forever." He's like, "I've watched other people get healed and I've wanted the same thing, and yet I keep coming back and I keep coming back." And oh, dear ones, he met the Savior that day. He met the man that made a difference. Not just the man that could grant him his request, but it was something that would change his life forever.
Yes.
And not just to buy him a new computer, a new car, or a new house, or a new wife, or whatever. No, it was a new life. He brought healing that day. The healing that he so desperately needed. And dear ones, whatever your infirmity is tonight, Jesus can make a difference.
Yes,
Jesus can make
right.
you a new creature.
Yes.
Jesus can deliver you, can set you free
yes.
from whatever it is you've been in bondage
that's
of.
Right.
Jesus is the chain breaker tonight.
Yes.
He is the difference maker. But the truth is, where are we at? Are we listening to him? Are we communicating with him? This man was, because as it goes on, he says, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." He said, "I've tried this before and it doesn't work."
Yeah.
Oh, dear ones, are you tired of trying on your own or someone else to help you? There's one that can make the difference.
Yes,
and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord
yes,
and Savior.
Amen.
Because Jesus saith unto him, verse 8, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk."
Yes.
You know, it took some faith for that man to do that.
Yes.
But you know what's encouraging? I wasn't there, so I don't know how this took place. But I can only imagine in my mind, for whatever reason, he couldn't walk. But I could imagine he felt something as his faith was reaching out to Jesus. He felt something in his legs as he was pondering the thought of, "Okay, I think I'm going to get up." You know, the Lord knows where our faith, what our faith level is, and he'll meet us where we're at.
Yes,
he's not going to require something if we're new in Christ, new
yes.
babes in Christ. He's not going to require the same amount of faith as someone's been serving the Lord for 40 years. That's not the kind of God we serve. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he's saying, it just starts out small. And that's where this man was starting, just something like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna try to lift my leg." And as I'm thinking, it's like, "Oh, I can lift my leg." And then he's able to eventually stand up, and notice what happens. Immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Oh, thank the Lord. A miracle was performed that day.
Yes.
And from this simple fact that Jesus knew what his needs, he knew what his needs were at that time, but he also came and met the man where he was at.
Yes.
And dear ones, that's what I want to encourage you with tonight. Yeah. You know, with Queen Esther, she had to go to the king. She knew that's where she had to, but yet there still had to be a miracle performed. She couldn't force anything to happen. So in that case, God had to work on the king's mind and his heart and intervene in their behalf. But yet she was at the Lord's mercy, and it still took great faith to do that. And so sometimes in our experience with the Lord, God inspires us and encourages us as we pray, and we go before the Lord and say, "Lord, here's my needs, and I pour my heart out to you." And then God can visit us and turn things around. And then there's other times, because we are human, we find ourselves where we don't even know how to pray.
Yes, that's right.
About something.
Yes.
Maybe we have exhausted everything.
Yes.
Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She spent her life's living on trying to be healed, and yet she couldn't be cured. But yet she reached out in faith and touched the hem of his
yes.
garment. She reached out in faith. Dear ones, sometimes that's all it amounts to, is,
yeah.
"Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. But I'm looking to you."
Yes.
You know, sometimes it's as simple as that. And we get still before the Lord. And I want to read some scriptures in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, where this talks about Jesus and being our intercessor and knowing who we are, knowing what our infirmities are. So I want to read this in Hebrews 4. In Hebrews 4 and verse 13, it says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." I want to just stop and consider that here just for a moment. With Queen Esther and her situation, God knew what the needs were. He knew exactly what all the needs were, and he knew how he could work. But yet, he was waiting to see how sincere she was. He was waiting to see how sincere God's people were. You know, sometimes it's as simple as that. It's God is waiting for some true sincerity and honesty of heart within us to realize we can't fix it.
Yeah,
and no one else can fix it.
Right.
Only God can fix it.
Yes.
And we finally lay those things down, just like Queen Esther did. She laid the flesh down, so to speak. She laid the beauty aside, saying, "Lord, that's not going to cut it here.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be moved on your throne." And we get to that humility of heart like she did. And we realize that he sees all our needs anyway. And he sees how many times we've tried on our own and we failed. And yet it goes on. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." I want us to consider this point, that he knows and he's touched.
Yes.
With the feeling of our infirmities.
Yes.
You know, Jesus sitting, standing on the right hand of the throne of God, he's moved with compassion.
Yes.
When he looks upon his creation,
yes.
And we struggle as his children, as his creation, as humans, because we have infirmities, we have feelings and emotions, we have doubts and fears that we have to struggle through and we have to wrestle with. And then, and Lord, increase my faith. Sometimes maybe that's the only thing you pray. Say, "Lord, increase my faith. I don't see it. I can't see an end to this. I don't see any change to this." But yet, Lord, as Peter said, "To whom else will we go? We're not going to leave you. To
that's
whom
right.
else? There's no other answers out there."
Right, yeah.
And we really, when we reach the bottom, so to speak,
yes.
And we realize Jesus is the only answer.
Yes.
Because I don't have the answers.
No.
Society doesn't have the answers.
No.
My friends don't have the answer.
No.
A pastor doesn't have the answer. My wife, my husband, nobody has the answers. But Jesus Christ does.
Yes.
Because
right.
he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. He's interceding for us, saying,
yes.
"Father, look at my child."
Yes.
You know what he's going through. Remember when Stephen was being stoned? Jesus stood at attention.
That's right.
And Jesus appeared in a vision. You can say that where Stephen saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus met Stephen in the midst of this impossibility.
Yeah.
And Stephen was delivered. Maybe not the way some people would have, but he was delivered.
Yes.
Yes.
God heard his prayers. Dear ones, what are your needs tonight? What are your infirmities? Jesus knows what they are.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
And Jesus can heal those infirmities.
Yes.
Because it goes on in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Who of us in here tonight, who doesn't need mercy? We all need mercy.
Yes,
that's true.
Who doesn't need grace and help? We all need grace and help. But you know, so many times, just as I told you a little story with that company I worked for, I felt intimidated. I felt kind of silly. I felt like I don't really want to go ask them this. And I didn't understand all the details about it. But I was intimidated by that. You know, Satan would love for us to be intimidated and fearful to go before God's throne and petition Him and say, Lord, I need You right now. He wants us to be intimidated, saying, oh, He's not going to accept you. He's, you know, you've done this and you've done that and you've messed up there and you're a failure over there and He's heard you so many times about that issue. He doesn't want to hear any more from you. Is that the kind of God we serve? For 38 years, this man went to the pool of Bethesda and never a change, it seemed. But yet he kept coming back. Dear ones, that is our job. That is my job. That we keep coming back to where we know where we can receive that grace and that help. We keep coming back to the throne till He's moved on His throne and He has compassion and mercy upon us and gives us what we have need of and delivers us and gives us a new life, a new ray of hope. Oh, there is an end to this. This death sentence does not have to stay over me for the rest of my life. I can be free of this. I can be delivered. And I can fight the devil. And God can empower me just like He empowered the Jews to fight the enemies. Jesus Christ can also empower us through the Spirit to take up the sword of the sword of the Lord and to take up His word. And the shield of faith and all the weaponry that He's given us, that we can take these things up and fight against the enemy and ultimately gain the victory that we so need desperately in this day and age. Dear ones, there are so many things. This is a dangerous time we're living in. Not just physically, but spiritually. And not just temporally or financially, but spiritually. Dear ones, the enemy has a death sentence over you and I tonight. But that's not the end of the story. That wasn't the end of the story with the Jews in the book of Esther. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
There was a new decree made. And that new decree tonight to us is, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Christ. There's grace from on high. But we have to boldly go and keep going and keep going to this throne of grace until our needs are met. But if we fail, it's because we quit asking. We quit going to the throne of grace. What's the scripture say? Jesus said in Matthew, He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? And I will give you rest." You know, sometimes it's as simple as we need rest to our weary minds and our weary spirit. And we need a peace of God that passeth understanding, that, Lord, I need something from You. Sometimes it's just a battle of the mind. Oh, dear ones, God has the answer for that too. And He can teach our hands to war, as the scripture says, and our fingers to fight, that we can rise up and fight the enemy and resist the devil. And yet at the same time, humble ourselves down before the Lord, prostrate before Him, say, Lord, You have the answers. You have the words of eternal life. You have the power to change my life, to make me a new creature, to empower me to gain the victory over Satan here and victory over these failures over here. Oh, Lord, help us that we realize that Jesus has the answers to us. What is your need? What is your petition tonight? What have you been struggling with? What do you feel is so hopeless and helpless in your life? You realize God can change that.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
But you have to take the step. You have to take the first step of faith. Even though you may not feel like it, that's what faith is called. It's going beyond the feelings and emotions. It's fixing our eyes upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we look at this story of the man at the pool of Bethesda, and that inspires our faith. Because that could be you, that could be me tonight. That he was changed forever. He got up, he picked up his bed, and he walked right out of there with victory. Dear ones, God has the victory for you tonight.
Yes.
The things that you have need of, the things that you petition Him for, He's saying, I have it. It's right here.
Yes.
I'm here. I know what it is already. But Jesus is the difference maker in your life and in my life. Lord, help us that we all take full advantage that we go boldly to the throne of grace. We realize that He's inviting us. He said, come unto me.
Yes.
He said, come. No matter who you are, where you are, what you've done, just come. And I want to give you something in exchange. I want to give you peace and rest for these things you struggled with for years or for months. Again, Jesus has the answers. Will you come? Pray for me and I'll be faithful to the Lord.
Yes, amen. Let's stand as we sing number 176. This would be a wonderful time. The question's been asked tonight. What is your petition? What is your need? We've heard the answer, but it's in our hands tonight what we're going to do with that question. And the Lord's waiting for us just to bring our needs to Him and allow Him to work in our lives.